No Old Testament prophet looked forward to the coming of the Messiah more than Isaiah did. It was during his time that the people were in darkness. There was all this despair. There was all this doubting, wondering about the very promise of God's presence, even in their own lives. And it was into that darkness, into that doubting, that Isaiah had these visions of hope, of peace, the visions of joy, of new life, the visions of love, the visions of the Messiah, the promised one, Christ, who would come. And so we've been working our way through Advent, looking at what Isaiah saw. And we've used many of the scripture verses from Isaiah, asking if we see the same thing. Today, as it is Christmas morning, the question is, are we getting Jesus for Christmas? Our scripture verses are found in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. Now, I would normally ask you to stand. I'm not necessarily going to do that. If you want to, you are welcome to, but you do not have to. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. It reads like this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. You may be seated, and may God bless the reading of his holy word. In the beginning. You know, that phrase echoes the very first verse that we find in the Bible in Genesis 1:1. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, the Word was God. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. The Word described in these verses is God, the creator of everything. He is the one who formed Adam and Eve in order to share his love with them. And then they rebelled against God, cutting us all off from the source of life. We forgot what our creator is like. And so the Word became flesh and came and made his dwelling with us. He came to his own. He came to his creation. He came to his own people. But his people did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children, children of God. Some people received the word and others rejected him. And that reminds me of Scrooge. The man who refused to celebrate Christmas. Oh, but he was a tight-fisted hand at the grindstone, Scrooge. A squeezing, wrenching, grasping, scraping, clutching, covetous old sinner. Hard and sharp as flint, from which no steel had ever struck out a generous fire. Secret and self-contained and solitary as an oyster. The cold within him, it froze his old features, nipped his pointed nose, shriveled his cheeks, stiffened his gait, made his eyes red and his thin lips blue, spoke out shrewdly in that grating voice. The same face, the very same, Marley in his pigtails, usual waistcoat and tight boots, The tassels on the ladder bristling like his pigtail and his coat skirt and the hair upon his head. The chain he drew was clasped about his middle. It was long and wound about him like a tail. It was made, for Scrooge observed it closely, of cash boxes, keys, padlocks, ledgers, deeds, and heavy purses that were wrought in steel. The specter raised a cry and shook its chain and wrung the shadowy hands. "You are fettered," said Scrooge, trembling. "Tell me why." "I wear the chains I forged in life," replied the ghost. "I made it link by link and yard by yard. I girded it of my own free will, and of my own will I wore it. Is its pattern strange to you?" Scrooge trembled more and more. "Or would you know," pursued the ghost, "the weight and length of the strong coil you bear yourself? It was full as heavy and as long as this 7 Christmas Eves ago. You have labored on it since. It is a ponderous chain." The air was filled with phantoms wandering hither and thither in the restless haste, moaning as they went. Every one of them wore chains like Marley's ghost. Some were linked together, none were free. Many had been previously known to Scrooge in their lives. He had been quite familiar with one of the old ghosts in a white waistcoat with a monstrous iron safe attached to his ankle, who cried piteously at being unable to assist a wretched woman and an infant whom it saw below on a doorstep. The misery with them all was that clearly, that though they sought to interfere for good in human matters, they had lost the power forever. See, every time that Scrooge and Marley preferred profits to people, they added another link to their eternal chain. But once Scrooge saw how wrong his choices had been and how to live in the future, everything changed for him. "I don't know what to do," cried Scrooge, laughing and crying at the same breath, making a perfect Laocoon of himself with his stockings. "I am as light as a feather. I am as happy as an angel. I am as merry as a schoolboy. I am as giddy as a drunken man. A Merry Christmas to everybody. Happy New Year to all the world." He went to church and walked about the streets and watched the people hurrying to and fro, patted children on the heads and questioned beggars, and looked down into the kitchens of houses and up to the windows and found that everything could yield him pleasure. He had never dreamed at any walk that anything could give him so much happiness. Scrooge was better than his word. He did it all and infinitely more. And to Tiny Tim, who did not die, he was a second father. He became a good friend, as good a master and as good a man, as good as any old city knew, or any good old city or town or borough in the good old world knew. Some people laughed to see the alteration in him, but he let them laugh. His own heart laughed, and that was quite enough for him. It was always said of him that he knew how to keep Christmas well. If any man alive possessed the knowledge, may that be truly said of all of us. And so, as Tiny Tim observed, God bless us, everyone. You see, every time that Scrooge and Marley chose money over people, they added another link to their eternal chain. But once Scrooge saw how wrong his choices had been, and how to live in the future, everything changed for him. And over 2,000 years ago, Jesus came. He came to his own creation. He came to his own people, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Some people received the word while others rejected it. And those who rejected Jesus, they forged chains that enslaved them for all of time and eternity. And for those who received Jesus, they were set free from their chains. But you see, that raises a very important question. How does a person receive or reject Jesus? Is it simply a matter of refusing or learning to celebrate Christmas just the way that Scrooge did? Or does our relationship with Jesus go deeper? Every time that we prefer to know the facts about Jesus, rather than connecting with him personally, we forge another chain in the link that keeps us from him. But when we seek to connect with Jesus directly, we are free to receive him. Every time that we choose not to pray, we reject him. But when we pray and we trust God to take care of our needs, we welcome Jesus into our lives. Every time we complain about our circumstances, we add another link to the chain that keeps us from him. But when we praise God and we thank him for his loving grace, we are free to receive Jesus. Every time that we gossip about or we insult our friends or our family, we reject him. When we bless our friends and we bless our family, we give them words of encouragement, we receive Jesus. Every time we ask God to bless our plans, instead of finding his plan, we forge another link in the chain that keeps us from Jesus. But when we surrender our plans to God and to his will and do the very best we can to seek out his plan, we welcome him into our lives. Every time we make it a priority to satisfy our own desires, rather than shaping our lifestyle after Jesus' teachings, we reject him. But when we seek to fulfill our desires according to God's principles, to his plan, we receive Jesus. Every time we choose to play it safe instead of doing the right thing, we reject Jesus. When we reject what many people want to call normal and we do what Jesus teaches us to do, we receive him. Every time that we allow fear and distrust to guide our decisions, we forge another link in the chain that keeps us from him. But when we choose obedience to God over our own comfort and our own security, we are free to receive Jesus. Every time we exert our independence and we seek to control others, we cut ourselves off from Jesus and even from other people. But when we recognize our dependence on God and our dependence on each other, we receive Jesus. You see, you and I, we can receive Jesus with each and every decision that we make. On the one hand, every choice that you and I make, it can enchain us, keep us bound in loneliness and separated from Jesus. But on the other hand, every choice that we make, it can set us free to welcome Jesus into our lives. See, there are many Christians who have bought into the idea that receiving Jesus as Lord and Savior is a one-time event. Believing that, you know, when they receive baptism or they become a church member, or maybe somewhere along the line they have said the sinner's prayer, that they're a follower of Jesus. But you realize it is the sum total of all those choices that indicate our response to him, that indicate that we are truly following after him. On the one hand, no matter what has happened in your past, if you make choices that reject Jesus, then you are forging a link in the chain that will keep you from him. While on the other hand, no matter what has happened in your past, if you make choices that receive Jesus, that welcome Jesus into your life, then he can set you free to be one of the children of God. Each and every one of us, as we celebrate this Christmas morning, we celebrate Jesus stepping out of heaven into earth to be with us, his love for us, to follow after him. Each one of us has to look at our own life, make an assessment of it, look at it, and see, are we making choices? Are we following Jesus? or are we rejecting him? Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20 says, "In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be his wife. She was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will cause great joy to all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger.' Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests.' When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried off and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told." Over 2,000 years ago, when Jesus stepped out of heaven and came to earth as a baby, even in that moment, there were people who rejected him and people who received him. And all through the ages ever since, people have been receiving Jesus and rejecting Jesus. The question to think about this morning, the question to think about and to ponder, are you receiving Jesus or are you rejecting him? See, each and every one of us, as we celebrate Christmas, I know we like to gather together and we do gifts and we do all kinds of things, but the greatest gift of all is Jesus. Are we getting Jesus for Christmas?